Shalom, this is Billy Brimman.
Brenda Brim-Kruko.
And we're here today at Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks bringing you the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast. And we are witnessing, actually witnessing what we just have lived in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
I am just actually home. I stopped by Colorado and then I went to Minneapolis. But I just really got home just like night before last. So this is really something that has just happened. We're giving you an up-to-date witness. And we did not go with John Hagee, but it just so happened that John Hagee was going to be there when we were there. And we do work with him and his Christians United for Israel. If you'd like to join, just go to CUFI.org and tell them Billy Brim sent you. Because you can really be a mouthpiece for our government to stand with Israel. Now, John Hagee had a meeting with the Prime Minister already scheduled, and they graciously invited us to come along. So we went into the cabinet room. I'd been there before when Ronnie Levy was in the government. And Benjamin Netanyahu took his seat in the center of the table, and he had an entourage of people around him. Then Brother Hagee's group sat across from him. John Hagee sat directly across from him, and then Diana, and then I sat next to her. And I don't know how many people we had, 20, 30 people, pastors. And when Prime Minister walked into the room, you could tell that he was really, really drawing strength from John Hagee.
Mm-hmm.
And he had just come back home. The Prime Minister had just come back. He had just gotten there like the day or the day before, from the United States. And from all the business about the freezing of the settlements. So before he walked into the room, John Hagee said to all of us that someone who knew the Prime Minister told him that no man in modern history has ever been under the pressure of Benjamin Netanyahu. Pressure of a madman, Ahmadinejad, wanting to wipe you off the face of this earth. And pressure from the nations of the world asking you not to do anything militarily. And so he came in the room, and the first thing he said was Iran. And he said, we cannot, we will not let Iran get a nuclear weapon. He said, can you imagine Ahmadinejad is as wild as he is without a nuclear weapon? Can you imagine what his rhetoric and what his actions would be if he did have a nuclear weapon?
Mm-hmm.
So we all prayed for Benjamin Netanyahu, and he received our prayers. And I would like to ask you to be sure to pray for him in these days.
He said that Iran was spreading its roots all over the world.
Yes, go ahead.
In Africa, South America, and he said other places too, but I can't remember. I just remember writing down Africa and South America. And he said they had to be stopped. And he said, Yeah, there's sanctions, but he said there's security and sanctions. And he said the security is military.
Mm-hmm. In other words, he basically said that the sanctions won't work.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Mm-hmm. And they don't work.
Mm-hmm.
And it just left me, didn't it, you, with the opinion there is going to be a military something on the table.
Yeah. Yeah, because he said they have to be stopped. And that's the bottom line. So.
I think the Stuxnet worm got them some time, bought Israel some time. We talked about that yesterday. You might want to go to listen to it. And you also might want to go to foxnews.com and search for Ed Barnes and read his wonderful 4-page, when I printed it off, article, Mystery Surrounds Cyber Missile That Crippled Iran's Nuclear Weapons Ambitions.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it stopped them forever. It just crippled them for a while, but it was an amazing thing. And we talked to him, and another thing he said was, and he said, we moved out of Lebanon. We gave away our zone there that we had patrolled over, and they filled it with Hezbollah. We gave away Gaza, and they filled it and made a terrorist camp out of it with the Hamas.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, we can't afford another move like that in what the world calls the West Bank.
And they're both... They're both funded. I know Hezbollah's funded
yes,
by
right.
Iran, Is Hamas or is it Syria?
Yes, Hamas is funded by Iran.
So they're both. So that's basically Iran on those two counts right there.
On both of them, right. And that's their tentacles. He described it like Iran's tentacles are going all over the world now with Hugo Chavez here in this part of the world. So he just emphasized that it has to be stopped. So, bless the Lord. Glory be to God. We've been talking in the past about the Ezekiel stones.
Some prayer
stones.
Things there.
It's a prayer things. Absolutely prayer things. And then we talked here now about the prime minister. That's another thing we did. And we can go to the future now a little bit. Let's go to the future by reading about the city of David. We went to the city of David in one of the most remarkable archaeology, and you could go. When you go to Israel, you can take the tour, and you could go down to the city of David. Now, the city of David, let's say, Brenda, that the temple is up on the high part, Moriah, and then as you go south, the mountainside dips down, and there's a triangular city. Now, it's an Arab city called Silwan. That's not supposed to be an Arab city. It belongs to the Jews, but the Arabs built in there with illegal buildings. And there in that place called Silwan, it is, today they are digging out the city of David, and it is one of the most phenomenal digs you have ever seen, and what they have uncovered. Now, the city of David, I want you to read here, read the 2 Samuel part, and then we'll talk a little bit, and then go ahead to the 1 Chronicles.
Do you want me to say the scriptures?
Mm-hmm, please.
Okay, 2 Samuel 5, 7. Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion, the same is the city of David, 2 Samuel 5, 9. So David dwelt in the fort and called it the city of David. And David built round about from Milo and inward. 2 Samuel 6, 10. So David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto him into the city of David, but David carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom.
Now let's stop right here. You remember that the Philistines had captured the ark, and they had gotten terribly, terrible things had happened to them because of taking the ark, because you're not supposed to handle it a certain way. And so David, he was going to bring the ark home, and he put it on a cart. Now, that's not the instruction of the Lord. The instruction of the Lord is that men are to carry it with poles. And this man named Uzzah, he reached out, the oxen stumbled and on the cart that David had figured out what to do. And the oxen stumbled, and this man named Uzzah reached out and touched the ark, and he died. Well, it wasn't that God just wanted him to die. It's that glory of the Lord, they weren't clean enough to handle it and stand in its presence. So he died. So
he was judged, basically.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm sure, you know, he went to the bosom of Abraham.
Yeah, right. I mean, his flesh, it just killed his flesh
and
wasn't there.
He just wasn't able to handle it. And so what they did, they gave it over to Obed-Edom. And Obed-Edom's house, Brenda, go on down there.
He probably got electrocuted.
Yeah, he probably did. And go on around here. So start reading here. 1 Chronicles 13:13.
Okay, 1 Chronicles 13:13. So David brought not the ark home to himself to the city of David, but carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And David, and this is 1 Chronicles 15:1. And David made him houses in the city of David, and prepared a place for the ark of God, and pitched for it a tent.
Now, why did he do that? Why did he suddenly change? Read up here in 2 Samuel 6:12.
And it was told King David, saying, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom.
Now, why did it bless Obed-Edom? Do you know why, Brenda? Because he was of the family that was supposed to handle the ark and handle it with the posts. So it was a blessing to him because it was according to the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
So it blessed him.
He was a Gittite.
Yeah. And it blessed him. And so then David said, all right, we'll do it the way the Lord wants it. We'll handle it with the poles. And David made a place for it. So go ahead and read about that.
So David brought the Ark of God from the house of Obadiah into the city of David with gladness. And as the Ark of the Lord, this is 2 Samuel 6:16, came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart.
Now, that was his wife. Remember, Saul gave his daughter as a reward for lopping off the head of the giant. So she was just furious. Now, people think that David went down the street naked. He did not. He only took off his kingly robes so that, he wore the toga, the clothes, whatever they wore. But your robes, and I'm told that they do that in heaven too, your robes signified who you are. If you were a beggar, you wore beggar robes. If you, coats, the outside coat. Mm-hmm. So he took off his king's outside coat, and that made her so angry. But he brought up the ark to the city of David.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the city of David...
And he was also buried there, it said.
Well, yeah, later on he was buried mm-hmm. there. The city of David is Zion. It's the first place called Zion. David had to fight the Jebusites to win it. Now, it's not the only Zion that the Bible refers to. Everybody says, oh, Zion, that's the church. No, it's not. Zion, in the Old Testament, is the first Zion, is the city of David. Then later on, David's son Solomon's going to build a temple that's up the hill on Mount Moriah, and that whole area becomes calling Zion. Whole city of Jerusalem in some places is called Zion. A whole land of Israel in some places is called Zion. And yes, in the New Testament, it speaks of the heavenly Jerusalem, Zion, the place of the church. So Zion or Zion, that's in Hebrews chapter 12. You have to find which one it's talking about. Actually, it's Hebrews 12, 22. You were come to Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. Actually, folks, there is a heavenly Jerusalem, there is an earthly Jerusalem.
A heavenly Zion.
A heavenly Zion and an earthly Zion. And we're going to see more about that in our book of Ezekiel tomorrow. Heaven is, earth is a mirror of heaven. We have trees here because they have trees there, and we're going to see more about what is coming up in the book of Ezekiel and Revelation chapter 22. You might want to read tonight Ezekiel 47 and Revelation chapter 22. That's going to be your homework because we're going to talk about an amazing stream of water, the Gihon Springs. Yes, the waters of Shiloah that flow gently. And so we want you to be with us tomorrow to hear Brenda and I talk about our going to the city of David with the archaeologist, who is also a priest, who has it in his heart to dig this place. And so many things are being revealed. It is so wonderful. You will want to include that on your trip to Israel. And by the way, we're going in June. We're going to take a group of youth on a youth bus, and then we're also taking a group of other folk. And Chip will be doing the youth bus, and probably Shelly. And I'll be doing the other folk. And we'll sometime get together along the way. But just call us here about that. 1-800-972-3447. Shalom, shalom.